I just want to warn you, I know that a lot of people do dangerous jobs. Some people I know work on the wires, the electrical wires, very dangerous, very dangerous. Some people wash windows like 60 stories up on a building with scaffolding and harnesses. Very, very, very dangerous. Being a police officer, you never know what's around the corner. Any moment can be catastrophic, very dangerous. Fighting in the military, not, you know, being fighting when you're in the military, it's horrendously dangerous. But nobody should ever try to be a talk show host. That's the worst.
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird. If you like that sort of thing.
I nearly hurt my finger yesterday.
Whatever.
Almost. I'm almost dead. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's, man, I always forget this part.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you, Julie. Welcome to the program. My name is Ron Van Dam. Not by default. It's really my name as handed to me by my parents. I had nothing to do with this. I was busy being born. I was going down the birth canal, having a great time, you know, looking at the scenery of the uterus walls. The uterus walls are really, it was dark in there, to be honest with you, and didn't have a flashlight. And then I was born and they tagged a name on me, you know, so this is just, I could be a Paul, I could be a Nancy, I don't know, but I turned out to be this, so please don't judge me by my name. I had nothing to do with it. How are you? How you doing today? You looking good. Oh my God. Did you get a new face? You're looking really good today. And did you lose weight? Or are you just really sickly and or some type of devoted vegetarian who doesn't eat anything but a carrot here and there? I don't know, but it's working for you. Your yellow complexion is just dazzling. It matches your sweater. Nice. Nice fashion choice. The color of your face matches the color of your sweater. Nicely done. I've heard of people picking out their clothes in the morning, but you actually pick out the color of your face. Pick out whatever. Hey, if you're going to make a verbal mistake, go with it. That's what I do. I'm going to tell you a funny story that is really not very funny, to be honest with you. It's kind of just psychologically interesting, I suppose, is what it is.
And now it's time for one of Ron's funny stories. You could practically hear the quotes around funny, couldn't you?
Okay, here's the story now. No names. No name. I'm not using names. I'm not even going to use a phony name. No names here. No names. I have a female friend who, very, very nice person. Very, very nice person. She believes in feng shui, which is, I think, a Chinese noodle. Now, feng shui is the placement of various items in your home or in your office so that when you're going throughout your day, you're looking at things that influence you without, you know, whatever. In other words, if you have a desk in your house or a desk in your office, it's supposed to face the entrance to the room. That way you can see who's coming. Anything other than that is bad feng shui. Also, someone could come in from behind you and murder you, which is feng shui as well, I suppose. Feng shui also says no fake plastic plants in your room. Certain plants should be placed in certain corners of the room, north, south, east, west, that kind of thing. So this girl really believes in that stuff, so she says. She has a plant, which is kind of like one of those floor tree kind of things, but it's real, and it's placed in a certain corner of her home, and she calls it the money tree. And whenever she needs to make a financial decision, she's in sales. So when she faces this money tree, and when she keeps this quote-unquote money tree nicely clipped and nicely watered, she has financial success. She's able to sell large accounts. She works very well with money when this money tree is facing her desk. It's properly placed there according to the rules of the feng shui nation. She reads up on this stuff, everything placed in a certain location for a purpose. She's been financially successful for quite some time, and she says it's because she keeps this money tree properly pruned, properly watered, and in the proper spot in her room, in her office. She has a home office. One day, she gets kind of scammed by another company and makes a very, very bad financial decision, and she loses thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. She's not used to losing thousands and thousands of dollars on a bad investment. So, and she goes, you know, we all panic when things don't go right. But when you lose thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars, you tend to panic a little bit more. Because that's your livelihood, is your money, you know, it buys things and things like that. So she went crazy, and we talked on the phone, and she finally calmed down, and she had to go through all this rigmarole to try to get her money back, but it didn't work out. It's just a loss. And then she tells me, and this is the interesting psychological part, she says, I must not have been keeping up with the plant in the corner of my room, which I call my money tree. I've noticed that maybe I haven't been watering it like I should have. I don't know. Maybe I haven't. Maybe my tree is a little bit sick. I don't know. Maybe it moved like 3 inches to the left when it was before feng shuied perfect on that wall. And I said to her, do you really, really believe that your financial loss is directly connected to this plant that you have in the corner of the room, which you call the money tree? And she said, yes. I said, you're really blaming the plant. Not that there's anybody to blame necessarily at all, but you're blaming the plant for your financial loss here. She said, yes, it's my money tree. I haven't been spending enough time keeping it watered and keeping it perfect. I really should have spent more time on my money tree. This is what I said, you know what? That's a dependence on something to explain something that didn't work out for you. Things don't work out in life. You can't have a string of successes forever. You have to fail here and there. Things don't go right all the time. If they did, you would be Jesus. And look what happened to him in the end. That didn't even work out well. So please cut your losses and move on. She says, well, I'm going to cut some leaves off my money tree and make sure it's properly pruned all the time, and I'll be financially successful. I said, no, you don't understand. You can't put your whole life in the hands of a bush. That's what she said. All right, stop with those jokes. And then I said something which blew her mind, because she was being obstinate. She's just blaming this tree. And I thought, my God, you're a human being. You can't blame an object for something. You know, other people have agendas too, which may not match yours. But what I said that really shook her was, maybe the guy that scammed you out of these thousands of dollars, that caused this financial loss, the people that actually took your money, maybe in the corner of their office, they have their own money tree, and their money tree worked for them because they got your money. So if you think you're the only one with a money tree, this is a problem perhaps with dueling money trees. My money tree is over here. Yeah, but got a money tree over here. But it doesn't match my money tree. Yes, but that isn't my money tree. Come on, man. Dueling money trees. Who would think?
And that was another funny story from Ron. Wait. That was supposed to be funny? Wow.
Wait till you grow up. Hey, how you doing? Hey, we do this every single weekday, a brand new show. Oh, there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them. You can find them all. If you want to binge till the day you die, you can listen to all the shows. They're on the Podbean Network. That's ronvandam.podbean.com or something like that. I have no idea. Or you can find us on iTunes. Or you can find us on TuneIn Radio. And other podcast network outlets as well. Available on your smartphone, your tablet, your computer. I think my show comes out of your nose if you breathe the right way. I think all over the place, you know, all over the place is where we come from. The great thing about this deal is that you can listen any time of day. I mean, you know, if you can't miss the show because you can always listen to it any time you want. The best time to listen to this show is when you're in the bathtub. I don't know why. I guess it's feng shui.
Listening to the Ron Van Dam Show, the podcast world's version of painful itching and swelling. You know they sell a cream for that, right? It's over the counter. Works really well. I've had to use it a lot.
Have you had your taxes done yet, huh? Cares. I don't care. What do I care? Maybe it's not even time to do your taxes. Maybe it's like April, or maybe it's August. I don't know. I don't have any windows here in the studio. I don't I don't even know what day it is. I have no idea. It's one of those days with the word day at the end of it. You know, one of those. Other than that, I have no idea. What difference does it make? What difference does it make? If you have nothing planned and nothing to do, what difference does it make? If you don't have to be anywhere, what difference does it make? No one's coming over and you're not going out. What difference does it make? None. Went to the optician's yesterday. That's a place where they make eyeglasses for those of you that have no high school education. And there are a few, and I'm not putting you down. Sometimes they're smarter than I am. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I went to the optician's and they said, well, have a seat and we'll be with you in a moment. And there was a very nice, pleasant lady who sat behind a little desk with a lot of things on it. And I'm sitting there and we're waiting for the next optician. She's like the greeter or something, you know, like the Walmart greeter. Hi, welcome to Walmart. Welcome to Walmart. Hi, welcome to Walmart. Welcome to Walmart. Hi, welcome to Walmart. I don't know if that's a good job or a bad job. I just believe that when you go home at the end of the day, you don't want to welcome anybody to anything. I mean, you're welcomed out. The funniest welcomer of all is the welcomer to Costco. Person serves no purpose whatsoever. When you walk into Costco, see, they give you a Costco membership card that you pay for, and it allows you into their warehouse, into their building, into their place. You're supposed to show it to the person at the door. And you can always tell the person at the door doesn't give a crap. If you're walking up to the door, you usually have a Costco card. So you flash it to them. I could be flashing them a Costco card that I found in the garbage 3 years ago. They don't look at the card. They just see you flashing something. I could flash in my library card probably and get in. I don't even think they look to see that it is a Costco card. They just see somebody holding something up and they go, yeah, go, whatever. I'm getting minimum wage. What the hell do I care? Go in. I don't take everything you want. I don't care. I mean, there's no point. There's no point to looking at people's cards when you walk at Costco cards because you need a Costco card to pay for this stuff. And if you can't buy anything, what the hell do they care if you're in there or not? I mean, why do they even care? You can walk around the store as much as you want, but you can't buy anything because you don't have a Costco card. Well, Ron, what they do is, you see, they go into Costco and they go up to those little tables where they have ladies, always a lady, and she gives you little samples of like a piece of sausage or something. You don't want the general public eating like a piece of sausage. No, you certainly don't. No, you don't. And you know, what do you tell your friend? What do you do for a living, Bob? I can't say. Why? Why can't you say? Are you an accountant? Are you a doctor? Are you an optician? I can't tell you. Well, come on. You must have. You said you had a job. What do you do? What's a? All right. I'm a greeter. Okay, I'm a greeter. People come in. I say hello, and they walk by me. Okay. Actually, that'd be the perfect job for me because I like to say hello to people, but I want no relationship with you whatsoever. This would be perfect. The furthest we could ever get in a relationship is you walking by me. That's it. That's as far as it would go. No sex, no conversations. I don't have to eat with you. We don't have to stare at each other and wonder what to say next. Our entire relationship is you walking by me. And you realize you're walking by me, and it's my job to stand there while you walk by me. What a perfect job that would actually be. Unfortunately, it pays minimum wage, and I need more money than that. I could do a part-time job of working somewhere else's degree. I could have two greeting jobs, but then I'd get screwed up. I'd be welcoming people to the wrong places. The newest thing that I love when I buy something in a store is the cashier will always say to me, this is new. I mean, it's new within the past 2 years. Did you find everything you were looking for? When they first said it to me, it was like, wow, these are philosophy questions now. We're getting really deep with these cashiers here. Did I find in life everything I was looking for? Oh, no, I guess I'm short on happiness and prosperity. But thanks for asking. No, they're just being nice, I guess. I guess the corporate started saying, I want you to make it sound like you care about people. That's tough. All right, look, here's what you say. You say, look, did you find everything you were looking for? But what if they say no? Well, I don't think anybody's going to say no. That would be kind of stupid. It's just like you just say yes to things like that. But it sounds like you care. But I don't care. I mean, seriously, if the cashier said, did you find everything you were looking for? And I said to them, no, what do they do then? Can I help you? I don't know where anything is either. I'm just a cashier. I can call Bob over here. He can maybe help you. We don't know what's in this store. The idea is you go walking up and down the aisles aimlessly, and we don't know. We don't know how to help you. Now, in Lowe's is one of those big hardware store things, you know, with the big warehouse hardware stores. They have greeters there, too, and it's usually a guy. Sometimes it's a girl if she's wearing pants. You know, girls in Lowe's can't dress like girls. You're not allowed to. You have to dress like a man. You have to look like you can build a shed in 10 minutes. That's what you have to look like if you're a girl. And they have them at the beginning. You walk in, and there is usually a Lowe's greeter now. And they say, hi, can we help you find something? And I say, excuse me, I haven't even walked in the store yet. Get out of my way. Stop accosting me. And then you go in there and you can't find something. You say to yourself, oh, where are they now that I need them? I've just, perhaps I overanalyze. Perhaps. Do you think it's possible? Do you think it's possible that I overanalyze a little bit? Do you think it's possible at all? Do you think maybe I overanalyze things? Maybe I do, maybe I don't. I don't know. All right, we're going to take a quick break, ladies and gentlemen, because, you know, in this day and age, you got to take quick breaks. We'll be right back after these words.
Smart lights, smart locks, smart thermostats. You love your new connected technology. And the Consumer Technology Association wants to help you protect the security of your devices. First, don't use default or easy-to-guess passwords. Create unique ones and keep them safe. Next, look for and install security updates from device manufacturers. Also, have an active firewall for your home router and consider using a professional installer to set up your new devices. Easy tips from the Consumer Technology Association to help keep your devices secure.
Wildlife poaching doesn't just happen in faraway places. It's a crime committed against countless wild animals all around you. Poachers don't care about hunting seasons, endangered species, or even the safety of other humans. The Humane Society Wildlife Land Trust, which protects wild animals through habitat preservation and by confronting cruelty, needs your help. Learn your state's wildlife laws, so when you witness a crime against a wild animal, you can report it immediately. Help protect wildlife at wildlifelandtrust.org.
Indeed, very important stuff. I happen to believe, I don't play stuff if I don't believe in it. I'll interview people that I don't believe in, but I don't play stuff that I don't believe in. And that's a fact. I don't know if you believe me or not, but it's absolutely true.
You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show. Don't worry, no one has to know. This is just between you and me and Ron. We cool?
We're going to talk to our guest right now, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jeremy Zimmerman. He's a co-founder of Chase Frederick. They actually make watches now. It makes this man sound a little commercial, but man, you know, I gotta get paid somehow. You know what I'm saying? You don't pay me. So anyway, this is kind of interesting. It's a new twist on watches, I suppose. Let's get him going here. Jeremy Zimmerman joins us now. He is a co-founder of Chase Frederick. And we're talking about time. Recently, we changed our clocks forward by an hour, which screwed everybody up. But nonetheless, we do that twice a year. And I understand there's some interesting information about clock things all of a sudden.
Yeah, Ron, thanks for having me on. You know, we changed our clocks ahead, and we thought, you know, now's as good a time as ever to introduce a great new product. So we developed a watch, and I'm excited to tell you about that.
Well, I'm always interested in technology and all this kind of stuff. Watches really haven't changed. Our wristwatch thing hasn't really changed, except for that digital thing there that a lot of people tried and don't particularly like. But the old the watch look really hasn't, you know, nothing much there.
Yeah, it's always been a fascination for me. You know, I don't know how much you know about automatic watches, but they were developed, I think the original was something like 200 years ago. And then, you know, they kind of had their heyday in the mid-1900s. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, around 1960, quartz batteries came out, and that became such a threat to these automatic watches.
Yep.
And in the same way, we're kind of facing another threat, you know, with these digital smartwatches.
Yes, that's for sure. A lot of people don't care for those things. They don't look great. And it's like, you know, it's just like an interesting technology piece, but it's not really a fashion accessory.
Yeah, you're spot on there. That's the thing about those. I think, you know, the Swiss and Japanese watch industries were kind of holding their breath just mm-hmm. to see, you know, what some of these watchmakers would come out with. But I think time has kind of shown that it's a computer on your wrist, and it's not for everybody.
No.
So, yeah.
So, all right. So then you came along and you thought, well, I'm going to make this interesting.
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, my own fascination sort of led us to, you know, kind of look at the industry as a whole and, you know, what could Chase Frederick do different? And so we would look at the industry and we'd see that, you know, men, look at the men's market and you look at a watch. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of a fashion empowering statement for men,
yeah.
In part because that's the only piece of jewelry that they wear.
Right.
And for women, you know, women can wear all kinds of accessories, right?
True.
But for automatic watches, there's not a lot of choice. And so we thought, you know, if we could come in and actually create something really beautiful and really elegant,
mm-hmm.
You know, I think we can make a difference. And we've created something I'm super excited about.
So describe it to me.
So what it is, it's a 24 millimeter dial. And, you know, typical watches are at least, you know, 32 to 42 millimeter diameter dial.
Right.
And because men is, you know, kind of the number one target market for watches,
yep.
The trend has always shifted towards larger dials.
Right.
And so women are kind of caught in the crosshairs with that. And so they've kind of adopted these larger dials. And we've done our study. We've talked to a lot of people. I've been in the industry for a while now, and we see there's a wide opening there. And so we've created a smaller women's automatic
mm-hmm.
From the ground up. So we designed the band, we designed the case.
Mm-hmm.
We use a reputable Japanese movement inside it, and it is really beautiful.
Now this actually has some technology in it, though, right?
So it, you know, real true watch enthusiasts,
yeah.
It's almost like a cult-like following where, you know, they think the only real watch is a mechanical or
right.
an automatic watch.
Right.
The technology behind it is it's old,
right.
But it's improved over time, and you know, it's the mainspring inside the movement is wound mm-hmm. automatically by the movement of your wrist.
Oh, really?
That's what's.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it has about 40 hours of battery reserve. So when you're not wearing it, put it on the dresser at night,
mm-hmm.
It'll still hold its energy. Put it on the next morning, and you're good to go. So there's no battery required. It's all based on the movement of your arm.
That's cool. And I know there was such a thing earlier, but it didn't seem to work. Those earlier versions decades ago didn't really happen, but now it does.
Yeah, the early versions were kind of you know, it was a good start, but they didn't hold energy very well.
Nope.
So you would lose track of the time during the day.
Yep.
You always had to manually wind it. Mm-hmm. But today's automatic watches are much better, where they can actually hold the time and they'll keep the energy for 40 hours.
Hmm. Wow. Okay. And yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. For men, they don't wear necklaces. They don't wear earrings. Well, most of the ones that I know don't. And yeah, the watch is like the only fashion statement that you got going there. And I know there was a time where a man's watch was like, that said a lot about the guy.
Yeah, it really does. Again, a watch for a man is sort of a power piece, right?
Yeah.
You know, they can wear it in a meeting and it looks good and they feel powerful. Women have all kinds of other accessories. And so we thought, you know, let's look at the market. Let's see what we could do different.
Yeah.
And we've developed a piece that I'm really proud of, and I think women are going to love it as well. Yeah.
Now, how can we get a look at it? We're doing radio here, so it's difficult to hold the watch up to your telephone. But how do we get a look at this?
Yeah, so go to chasefrederick.com, chasefrederick.com. And Chase Frederick is the name of my wife's grandpa, as well as my Richard Altorfer is my grandfather. So we named it after them.
Cool.
They were huge inspirations for this and for us in our lives. And so, you know, what better way to pay tribute to them?
All right. And these watches, I assume, are like around $500-$600.
No, that's the thing. We're actually launching on Kickstarter sometime in the next, I want to say the next week and a half or so.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll be able to find us on Kickstarter as well. But in the, you know, in the interim, go to chasefrederick.com, learn more about us. You can sign up for our email list. But we are launching on Kickstarter at a starting price of $200.
Whoa.
Yeah, so I tell people I think it's probably the best watch for under $500, and we're only $200 to $300. So there you go.
Wow, when you're talking even when you're talking about jewelry for women that doesn't even tell time, it just hangs on your neck or something. That's like twice the price of your watch. That's kind of cool. It's a good way to introduce it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the other challenge. You know, do a Google search for automatic watches for women.
Yeah.
More petite, more feminine types of watches, and you're not going to find much out there.
No.
So I think we've got something special,
nice.
Look forward to bringing it to market.
Okay. Now, this. So you do it for men and women?
Right now, we're doing it for men,
yeah.
In part because, you know, I grew up with five sisters. I've got two daughters.
Yeah.
So I've always, you know, kind of had a heart towards women, you know, we think there's a big market there. So that's our focus for now, but eventually who knows what will happen.
Okay. So now it's for men, but, shortly it will be for women, hopefully in the future.
Yep.
Okay. Cause you know, women don't wear those smartwatch things because it isn't pretty. So yeah, I think there's a gigantic market for women for automatic watches. My God.
Right. Yep. That's what we think. That's what we hope. And we hope your listeners will check us out.
Cool. All right. One more time, that website.
ChaseFrederick.com.
Perfect. Thank you so much for your time today, Jeremy. It's been interesting.
Thank you, Ron. I appreciate it. And have a good day.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Ain't always easy these days to know what to give your kids for snacks. Sugary this, high fructose that. Heck, even the stuff they call natural ain't always natural. But there's one snack when your kids ask for it, you know exactly what you're giving them.
I want Piggy Parts. I want Piggy Parts.
Professor Parker's preserved Piggy Parts are 100% all-natural salt-preserved pig parts. What parts, you ask? Well, some folks would call them scraps or ears or hoofs, but kids just call them delicious. And with their stiff, leathery texture, one Professor Parker's preserved Piggy Part will last a kid all afternoon. That's what we call value. So stock up now for school. You'll find them at the end of the pet food aisle in original, barbecue, or vinegar, garlic, teriyaki, onion, habanero, pineapple flavor. Give them a try and you'll see why kids say,
that's some good piggies.
Professor Parker's Preserve Piggy Parts.
So I'm in this optometrist place. I want to get some new glasses, you know. So I'm sitting there, and the receptionist, I know I started to tell the story before, but I never got to it, did I? This is what happens when you smoke marijuana in college, ladies and gentlemen. And I warn the kids, you know, just because it's legalized doesn't mean your brain's going to be better off. You think it's relaxing? Yeah, it's relaxing your brain permanently. So careful. Careful, kids. Anyway, this public service announcement about marijuana from Ron and to you. I know, you know, smoke marijuana if you want to. I'm just telling you, that's the long-range problem with it. It starts killing your little brain cells, and you don't do as much stuff. You forget where you are, even if you have windows. Anyway, so I'm sitting in this optometry place. Ron, how many times are you going to sit in this place? Well, I guess 3 or 4 times, I assume. So I'm sitting there, and this lady receptionist, she's sitting there at the desk next to me, and it's awkward because I'm sitting there waiting for the optometrist, and she's sitting there sitting at the desk, and there's nothing going on. And she looks at me, and she says, this is awful. It's just awful. It's more awkward than just shutting up. And what she says to me is, "It's been cold out, huh?" Oh, stop it. You're going to go with the small talk about the weather. Is that the direction you're going in? I'm so bad at this. I don't know what to say to you because my brain knows that you're making small talk and now you're forcing me into engaging in small talk with you. Oh, don't do this. The only thing I can say, if I were to be honest, would be, oh, shut up. Don't make small talk. You're demeaning me when you make small talk. Don't do that. Don't talk about how cold you think it's been. Are you serious? You think I'm going to come down to your level and talk about that? Why would you even think of that? Do I look that petty to you? Instead, I involve myself in conversation with her, but I try to bring it to a different level. So I say to her, it's been very cold, but it will become warmer very shortly. That's the forecast for next week. And she says, good, I hope so. I think we're all sick of the cold. Oh, no, no, you just brought me right back down to the small talk. I think we're all sick of the cold. Oh, come on. So I decide to go into my humor mode in order to get me out of the small talk. And when she says, we all don't like the cold, I respond by saying, yeah, and I know because I was locked in a meat freezer locker for a week before they let me out. I know what cold is. She didn't respond right away. I think I hurled her into another dimension of awkwardness. She didn't quite know what to say to that. But she did respond after a lot of thought. And she said, you were stuck in a meat locker? And now we're into a real conversation. It has no bearing on anything. It's stupid, but we're not talking about how cold it is outside and what the weather is like. Now we're engaged in some type of mind play between the receptionist and Ron. A mind game that this woman can never win. And I know it. So I say to her as a response, yes, I might have been exaggerating. I was only stuck in a meat locker for 3 days, not a whole week. Again, silence. She doesn't quite know what to say, where to go with it. And to be honest with you, I don't recall a response from her at this point. So in my mind, I win. It was not awkward anymore. I felt like I had won that exchange. That was my only purpose, to win the exchange. Eventually, the optometrist says, next, please. And I looked at her like, I'm done with you. We're not having conversation anymore. You lose. Enjoy your day. When you get home, tell your husband about this strange guy who is sitting at the optometrist's office and claimed that he was stuck in a meat locker for a week, but then changed his story to 3 or 4 days. It's apparently my job to make people feel really good and to question their existence. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I'll be with you again tomorrow. Hopefully you'll join me then. I wish you peace. Hey.